If we truly desire an awakening in our spiritual life, an awakening in our church, in our city, in our nation, we must be committed to community. We really do need each other. Pastor Tim challenges us as he continues our series, Pray and Then Go. Thank you for joining us.
A lot going on in our city. I'm thankful that there are churches and there's the Wesley House on Georgia College campus and other things on our campuses that God is moving in. And I'm thankful that we can join with them and join with these different groups and for all one cause, and that is to lift up Jesus Christ and see him change our city. That is my hope and that is my prayer. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. We'll read a scripture at the beginning of the sermon. I'm changing it up a little bit. Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. You can stand in honor of God's word. And it says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth that takes his name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with the power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints. That's key there. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we all can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that good? Amen. Be seated. It's very good stuff this morning. God's word is true and it's alive and it's well. Well, in the very beginning of time, God saw the need for relationships. Aren't you glad? He saw the need for relationships. He saw that when he made a man, he says, that man looks lonely. That man needs something. That man, and we've been paying for it ever since, Lord. Amen. I got a lot of amens there. Is that we were alone. We needed a companionship, so he made woman. And so this relationship began. It was a holy relationship. You know, our need for relationships is great. That's the way he created us, even from the very beginning, when he made the first human beings. You know, as a baby clings to her a mom, that's one of the purest relationships you will ever see. Will you agree with that? When you see a baby in the arms of a mother, it's just pure. It's just such holiness. I remember last Easter, all those that got married a year or so before all had babies, and all the singers, and they had their babies tucked away in these little things. I don't know. They were all wrapped up, and I was like, you know, I sure hope, you know, they can breathe or something. But it was a beautiful, and Heidi would always make the comment on how beautiful it was to see them take care of their babies. And it's a wonderful thing, that relationship that they have with one another. You know, it's one of the purest relationships I've ever seen. We desire to belong. We desire to belong. Even the extreme introvert wants a relationship. Relating to one another is built into our DNA. It's just who we are. What good is a gift if we have a gift, a present, and we don't give it away? It ceases to be a gift, isn't it? What good is a gift if we don't give it to someone? What good is to win a ball game and there's no one there to see it? Understand? If you win a ball game, there's no one there to see it. There's no one there to celebrate that. We often say things like, I don't care what anyone thinks of me. That's not true. Yes, you do. Because you wouldn't have even said it if you didn't care. You know what I'm saying? And I've said it before, just a little side note, we as Christians, we should care what others think of us, but we just don't let it dictate what we do. The daddy-daughter relationship is so important, because I've raised my child to know that I'm hopefully that I'm trying to be that a godly man And in turn, hopefully she will desire a husband the same. I know there's many single moms here today with your children. And I never leave you out on this, is that praise God that there's some godly men in this congregation that your daughters and your children can look up to and they can see what is right. We're in the garden. We have Adam and Eve walking into the cool of the day with the Lord. And they heard the presence of the Lord, it says. And walking into the cool of day and that relationship they had with one another. What happened to that pure relationship that we once had with our Creator? It's called sin. Sin entered to the world. Sin destroys relationships. Sin is the one that destroys relationships. It kills relationships. And in that moment, when they used to walk in the cool of the day, when the Father showed up that day, they hid. See, sin makes us go and hide. Sin makes us go and hide and run away from relationships a lot of times. Because it's such, we break those bonds. We break those relationships. Like in the marriage covenant, when that covenant is broken, we want to run and hide. And so sin leads us different places that we don't want to go. It leaves us undone. And we've been hiding ever since. We've been hiding ever since. But I'm thankful that we don't have to stay there. We hide in extreme cases. You know, you hear on the news often about gangs and the initiation into gangs. You have to kill someone, maybe. Or when you want to get into this game, you have to lay down and they beat you up and hopefully you make it through without dying to be a part of this game. I know that's an extreme that we don't see a lot of. We have it here to a certain extent, but we don't see a lot of that. But they're looking to belong. They're looking to be in a relationship. They're looking for someone to help them. We also see it in the bar scene. We see it. I would say it was just out of college students or something like that. But it goes beyond the college years. And when I walk into a restaurant and there's a bar there, there's still people 30, 40 years old that never got out of the bar scene because they just want to belong. Back in the 80s, Cheers was a show, and their song was, "I want to go where everybody knows my name." If you were a child of the 80s, you go who Norm is. That's the wrong time to say amen, that you know Norm. Wrong time. I know who it was, but I'm not going to call you out. But we want to belong. We really want people to know who we are. We want to have relationships. We want to have those in a great way. You know, we find ourselves in other clubs and societies, even in a school, in high school, and in college, and even after college, we find ourselves in different type of societies. There's nothing wrong with any of that per se. It's just that we're trying to find ourselves. We're trying to put ourselves in relationships. I remember a friend groups. You know, we want our friends around us and our groups around us, and sometimes that could be not a good thing either. I remember there, I had one the ting in my when I was in Abilene. Her name was Apana, and her friend group was so strong that it was beginning to hinder her when she graduated high school and what she was going to do with her life. She wanted to be a doctor. She had these aspirations, but she just wouldn't leave this friend group. And as her youth pastor one time, I took her out. And we went to a local a restaurant and had a meal. I got the application to Southern Nazarene University, sat in front of her, and I said, "Fill it out now." She's a doctor today. Sometimes friend groups create something within us that we belong to those so much and so tightly that we begin to push God out and push others out. All of a desire to be in a relationship. We desire that. Every single one of us here today desire that. Many of us are sitting here today to have been hurt. You've been broken. Every single one of us can say there's a relationship in our lives that has hurt us in some form. Every single person sitting here, we have that in common today. You know the things, I don't have anything common for that person or that person. Yes, you do. You have lived in great relationships. and you also have experienced bad relationships, things that have hurt us, things that have caused pain. And then that's where we sometimes get our example from, when we think that God will treat us the same way in the relationships that we've had here. That we begin to place that on God, because my father was one way, and he was evil, and he was mean, so therefore the Heavenly Father's the same way, and we struggle. I don't minimize that at all. And that's a need in your life, to realize that the creator of this world is not your father. It's not your way your father was. But he can definitely be your father today. Relationships. One of the first things that Jesus did, what do you do? Follow me. Enter into relationship. First things that Jesus did, went up to Peter, follow me. Enter into this relationship. Enter into something that is a greater than you are. Enter into this relationship. We enter into relationships, and when we ask someone, like I asked my wife Heidi to marry me, I wasn't scared at all. She was going to say no. You know why? So, because she designed her own ring. It was pretty much a 100% yes. You know what I'm saying? She said, I'm going to design my own ring. I said, no, you're not. She said, yes, I am. That was our first big fuss. No, it wasn't. I just went, yes, ma'am. Been saying yes, ma'am, ever since. Yes, ma'am. You want to design your own ring? Yes, ma'am. But that marriage relationship, God created it, a man and a woman coming together for a lifelong commitment. Lifelong commitment. But once again, sin became into the world and has tried to dictate our relationships ever since. Is that when moments we are good and things, relationships are wonderful and great, then we allow sin to enter in that relationship. It begins to break that relationship, begins to unfold that relationship to the place that they never could come back together and to be what they once was. Relationships. We desire them. We want them. But within the cost of relationships, sometimes there's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of pain. That's just the nature of relationships. I could sit here today and line you up and walk you up, and you could tell me stories of great times, great relationships. I've had those in my life. A dad and a mom, wonderful relationship. So my mama lives with me now. That's beginning to, you know, to unravel a little bit. Unravel. But those relationships were wonderful and was great. Relationships, you know, when I was in school, that were wonderful and great with the different professors and our my college roommates. We still check on one another, and that bond that we have. There's a picture of us that we always all had a Christmas sweater on. My wife makes fun of it. You ought to see the picture. I would make fun of it too. But I remember those times and those moments of being together with them, and how God used them in my life, and how wonderful those relationships were. You keep hearing me saying relationships, relationships, relationships. I want us to get an understanding is that we don't have to live in bad relationships. God's word is clear in Romans. As far as it depends on me, we live at peace with everyone. As far as it depends on me, if it is possible, the word says in that verse, as far as it depends on me, if it is possible, live at peace with everyone. In other words, it's I don't have to look to Heidi to live at peace. God calls me to live at peace with her. And God calls her to live at peace with me. In a friend group or in a church setting here, God calls me to live at peace with you if it is possible, as far as it depends on me, to live at peace with you. But God also is speaking to you, as far as it depends on you, to live at peace with me. Relationships are hard sometimes. They are difficult sometimes. But here's the thing. What has to happen for these relationships to be restored, for relationships to be restored at once as it was when we would walk with the Lord on the cool of the day, Adam and Eve would walk with the Father on the cool of the day. That relationship was broken because of sin. How can this be restored? We were reconciled back to our Creator through the blood of Jesus. That's a great place to say amen. Great place to say amen. We are reconciled back to the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. Relationships are restored through Jesus and only through Him. Is that our relationships with one another are restored through whom? Jesus Christ. I tell in the premarital counseling, I say, here's the thing about premarital counseling, and I tell them at the beginning, your relationship will only be as good as your relationship with Jesus Christ is. It only will be wonderful if your relationship with Jesus Christ is everything to you. Everything to you. So we are restored through the blood of Jesus. He comes in, He saves us, and He sets us free. Sets us free. And so then we can begin to have a relationship with Him and begin to have that time, that communication with Him, and begins to restore us the things that we have lost, things that we have thrown away because of sin. Praise God, He begins to restore those things in us, begins to do a work within us. I love when I see a Christians, they get right with the Lord, and one of the first things that we begin to talk about is, I got some relationships I need to restore. You know what I'm saying? When I got right with the Lord, I said, there's some relationships that are not good back here. I need to go back and begin to restore some of those. I need to make that attempt to restore some of these relationships. When Jesus comes in, it does something within our heart that we see ourselves for who we are, and we see the pain and the hurt that our sin has caused someone else. Sin is always relational. And we want to restore that relationship. I've had people tell me that they have either divorced someone years ago, and Jesus come, they have married someone else, and they are happily married, and things are great, and things are good. And that when they get saved, if they feel like they need to go back and say, I'm sorry, and restore as much as possible that relationship, as far as it depends on me. If it's possible, live at peace with everyone. To me, that tells me that the Lord wants us to restore relationships. And that's what God calls us to do. If we're going to be a church that's going to do anything with the Lord, our relationships within here with one another has to be pure, it has to be holy, it has to be righteous. It has to be that relationship that I can come to any of you. I can go to Brother Billy Dixon here and say, Brother Billy, I need you. And Brother Billy would say, yes, sir, what you need. We need to have those relationships that are holy and that are righteous. That in a moment when we hear someone say something about a brother or a sister, our immediate thought is not, what? Our immediate thought is, that can't be right. Our immediate thought should be, that can't be right. I fail sometimes with that. But our immediate thought should be, no, that's not correct. Our relationship should be so strong with one another that I can walk up, or you can walk up to me and say, you know, I saw you somewhere, and you did a little something, and I just want to tell you about it. That's pure relationship within Jesus Christ. Pure relationship in Jesus Christ. So you say, Pastor, you're talking a lot here about relationships. I'll say it again. But God has called us to be reconciled to Him and reconciled to one another. The first church really had it really down. It says in Acts chapter 2, it says that they went from house to house. They would break bread together. They would meet together. They would sell what they would need to help within the community of believers. They broke bread together. And so they understood the need of close relationships. They understood that if we're going to be able to be a difference in our world, then we must be have a difference in here. We must be the same with one another in here. Strong relationships. And taking care of one another in here. Jesus says that the world will know that you're my disciples on how we love one another. and how we care for one another. To me, that love, you know, how we love one another, that means a lot to me. It's how we care for one another, how we provide for one another, how we, a person that is in need, guess what? We don't wait for someone else to meet the need. We see the need and we meet the need because my brother and my sister needs that moment. Or in that moment, it's not really a need. They're on the mountaintop. I guess what we get to do, we get to celebrate with them. The Lord has reconciled himself to us through Jesus Christ, and he's calling us to reconcile us together. And he's called for us to be the shining light to reconcile the lost to him through the power of the church. Relationships. You might be thinking through this. You're beginning to push a little bit too much, Pastor. Push a little bit too much. I know there's a relationship I got to get restored. There's a relationship that I got to go and ask for forgiveness. You know what those are. You know what those are. And those are hard, and it's tough, isn't it? It's hard to go and say, I was wrong. Please forgive me. So what does that? What does all this have to do with a discipleship band? Has everything to do with it. Well, you might say, Pastor, we meet on Sunday mornings. You know, we meet with the whole church. We come to sing and we pray and we teach and we have that fellowship together and that relationships are together. It says, I love it. We come together on Sunday morning and we have all that time together. And that time is so important because I believe the church body comes together and we worship together and sing together. And it really builds my spirit. I mean, it really lifts me up. Really lifts me up on what God is doing. But you might say, I come on Wednesday nights to a small group. Or an accountability group or a study group. All these are good and all these are what God wants us to be. But what we need is a band. We need a band. We need a group of 3 to 5 people who read together, pray together, and meet together to become the love of God for one another and this world. Let me say it again. A group of 3 to 5 people who read together, pray together, meet together to become the love of God for one another and the world. In our scripture today, it teaches us that we want to be fulfilled. We want to be filled with the fullness of God. Filled with the fullness of God. So we come together in relationships because it will strengthen with power through the Holy Spirit that we want Christ to dwell in our hearts through faith. We want to be established or rooted in love. The power together and to our groups, how wide and long and how deep and is the love of Christ. As we want to know what the love of Christ is and how deep and how high his love is for us. We want to know that his love suppresses all knowledge. Why? Because we want to be filled with the measure of all of fullness of God. Here's the thing, we need one another. We need one another. My band, which is Bennett and Presswood and John Gonzalez, pray for him. His dad passed away, and they're going to have his funeral in Atlanta tomorrow. We meet together most Thursday mornings. And it's a wonderful find. The difference in a study group or accountability group, there's always a leader in a study group. Would you agree? Someone's leading a study, Bible study, there's always a leader. Or in an accountability group, there's always a leader. Oh, you know, small groups are great because they have social and also they have a little bit of Bible study, a little bit of prayer for one another. Those are great also. But what is the difference in a discipleship band? Discipleship band is the only leader is the Holy Spirit. I like it because as pastor, I go in not as the leader, but I go in as a fellow believer. That I look to them at times. It's wonderful when I confess something deep within me. It's great when Bennett comes alongside me. He lays his hands on my shoulders and begins to pray over me. It's those moments that we have together. There's been some moments that we have had to go real fast, and there's moments when we were able to kind of relax and not rush through it. When you hear the confession, when you hear the prayer time together, at those moments, I'm not the pastor anymore. I'm just a fellow believer on the same journey as they are. That's what a discipleship band does. It's those moments that I trust them. I trust them with some deepness, with some deep things in my heart. A discipleship band. 3 to 5 people. 3 to 5 people. As that band begins, we pray together. Then we have questions. And we have to answer these questions. First question is, how is your soul? It's a deep question, isn't it? How is your soul? What are your struggles and your successes? How might the Spirit and the Scriptures be speaking in your life? Then you have, when you get those three down, and as you begin to bind together as a band, then you might want to go a little bit deeper. That's when you can really feel like this is good. This is what we need. And you trust one another. Then number four, do you have any sin that you want to confess? Then number five, are there any secrets or hidden things you would like to share? Each of us has about 20 minutes, 15 minutes to be able to share those things. There's no interruptions. There's not the pastor stepping in going, hey, Bennett, let me help you fix this. Later in the hour, he might ask, y'all got anything that maybe helped me? Or with John, I said it last week. John says, guys, I really don't want to pray. I don't know how to pray. And I said last week, I said, John, I want to hear you pray because I love it. I love people that say they don't know how to pray. Pray. Because it's so pure. You know what I'm saying? It's just so pure. I look forward to those mornings that we get together, a discipleship band. Meeting together, reading together, praying together. Those moments that I've heard from other people that have had discipleship bands. Even the guy that really started this, his name is J.D. Walt, is going through serious thing in his life, and he said if it wasn't for his band, he don't know how he would have made it through it. I'm trying my best today to get us to understand how important it is. My wife has made it possible for me to go. She understands how important this is. You know, I usually take the little ones to Learning Safari, and she picks them up in the afternoon. And sometimes she rolls her eyes. But she wants me to be there. She wants me to be there. Because she sees how important it is. I want to be in the fullness. I want to be filled with the fullness of God. And I believe that this is another step in being full. You might say, I have so many questions on what really it is, and I'm trying my best to help you today, and we're gonna quit with this. I got 6 minutes to 12. This is fun. And Brother Randy Dominey will be laying on hands after the service today. If you feel the need to be laid and anointed with oil, Brother Randy will be down here right after the service. We have a table set up out there. Pastor Amy will be there, and the Bennett will be there. They've been experiencing the discipleship bands, and if you have any questions, they can answer those questions. But what I'm going to do is, yes, you will sign up, but you're signing up to meet with me or Pastor Amy or another one of the staff members. All you guys, there might be 4 and 5 of us, will meet together, and I'll just pour my heart into you and what this is about. It's not like a sign-up sheet, and then you go to a meeting somewhere, and then we just put this together. Folks, this is not going away from Freedom Church. Understand this. Every year, beginning of the year, we're going to talk about discipleship bands. This is not going away. This is not some little thing that we do and say, oh, that was great, so let's do something again next year. This is something that we will be a part of as long as I'm pastor here. We will continue to say discipleship bands. And I'm sure some of you are really going, it's interesting to me. But I go to work at this time. I get off at this time. I do this. And some of you are saying, but how am I going to get my children where they need to be? Now, some of you are retired. You meet anytime. Listen to me. Instead of looking at it as I don't have time, look at it as I got all the time in the world to do something that's going to bring the fullness of God in my life and help me. You know, we can all make excuses for anything. At the interview last time, Jennifer out of Bradswell was asked a question, how do you make this happen? They have about 900 children, you know. And basically, I'll sum her answer up, because it's important. Have we made every band meeting? I haven't. All of us, I miss. I think Bennett's the only one that's been to every one of them, I think. You're more holy than we are, Bennett. But we have a question here about relationships. I'm so thankful that Jesus restored and reconciled us to the Father, and that relationship is pure and holy through his blood. Aren't you glad? Oh, I'm glad. It's given me life and more abundant life. I'm thankful about the relationships in my life that I have that are really pure, my wife and my children, and you know, my relationships with you as a pastor. But since we've been doing this for, I don't know, a couple months or 3 months, I don't even know now. Those moments in that hour and 15 minutes that we have together, as men with men and women with women and other bands, I got two men pouring their heart into me. That is a good thing. Understand that. That's a good thing. And I love it. As a pastor, to sit with two men and be transparent, my goodness, love it. And I know at any moment I can send them a text. They're praying. At any moment that I need. But to John, he lost his dad. Pray. I need you. I need you. Relationships. A lot going on here. A lot I talked about today. We're all broken and are in need of a Savior. I believe the first church had it right. Let's meet together. Let's pray together. Let's read together. And when you do, and when you add this into your walk with the Lord, and it becomes something so wonderful and important, you're going to see your house change. You are. You wives are going to see a change in your husband. You go, ooh, I like this. Husbands, you're going to see a change in your wife. You go, man, I really like this. Really do. You might even see a change in your teenagers. I doubt it, but hopefully. Kidding. And then we'll see a change in our church, change in our community, and a change in our nation. But it has to start somewhere. Why not here, Freedom Church? Why not? Why not that some people are ready to band together, begin to live out and walk out this life? But Mark Williams talked to him about bands a long time ago. He's got a band, I think he and Chris Capus at Lowe's, and this was out of the box. He said, we got another guy at Lowe's, don't even come to church here. We're thinking about it. It's good. But you want to seek out those, not necessarily in your friend group, but someone outside of that the Lord lays upon your heart Remember, you're not the leader. You're just saying, hey, I want to start one. The way you start, and don't start until you talk to one of us, where we can pour into you what it really is. The question is going to be is, will you answer the call? Will you answer this call today? I want you to stand.
You may be asking yourself, what is it about these prayer bands or these discipleship bands? Well, you can find more information online if you like at discipleshipbands.com. You can also download the Discipleship Bands app. Search in your app store for Discipleship Bands and download it, investigate, and start. Thanks for joining us.